ladies, to another episode of the Fearless Mums Club podcast. I'm Christine Drummond, your host, and I've got the gorgeous Tara Wallace here with me from the Gold Coast. She's actually my mother-in-law's neighbour. It's really cool that I've just had to come across the fence, basically, to record this podcast. But I just want to say to all the women that are listening to our podcast, thank you for your support. Thank you for tuning in. And I just know the value you're getting from this, because a lot of you are sending me private messages telling me how much you're loving the podcast, the realness of them, the rawness, how we have a laugh, how we sometimes have a cry. So I never know what I'm going to expect, but today you're in for a real treat. This lady is amazing. I love her positivity and her spirit and her kind-hearted nature. And you guys are absolutely going to adore her as well. So Tara, tell everyone a little bit about yourself. What's your background? Where did you grow up? How many hundreds kids do you have? Like, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I don't have 100 kids. There's four of them.
It feels like 100.
It does feel like 100 sometimes. But yeah, we've been living on the Gold Coast for the last 3 years, which we love. We actually moved from Melbourne, and that's where all the babies were born. And my whole family lives down there, but we really migrated north. Brad's parents live in Port Macquarie, so we'd go and visit them on holidays, and you know, we realised what the weather was like, so we sort of tried Port for about a year and then decided to keep going north to here. So, and this is where we'll stop. But yeah, I am a principal of Rockpool Real Estate, a real estate agency on the Gold Coast. We're pretty new on the Gold Coast. We've only been around since mid last year. So I call this my second career, because my first career was in marketing, and I had to step back from that. Obviously, four kids quite close together, only 5.5 years between all of them. So there was no chance for a career in that period of time, although we did do some developments and renovations on our houses to try and get a bit of extra cash on the side. So that was fun with four children. But here we are, and
that should still be going. It's all good. Awesome, honey. So I've met your kids, and they are absolutely amazing. And you and your husband should be just so proud of the way that you're raising them. They are always so polite, but isn't that the case? Isn't it? Like, everyone's
not
kids
with me
seem
all
to be.
The time, yeah. But yeah, that's nice to hear.
They always seem to be a bit nicer in front of other people.
That's
but
right.
But I love that. And we were talking off air before we started the podcast, just in regards to that juggle. Like, it's real, isn't it? Like, juggling the career. Especially if you've got a home business and the kids as well. And I can't imagine having four kids 5.5 years apart between all of them. Oh, my gosh. Like, that's full on, lady.
Oh, it was. There was some times when I really questioned my own sanity and questioned their safety. But we all got through it, and now they're at an age where they can all swim.
Yes.
You know, they're out of nappies. They don't need day sleeps. They're all fairly independent. So it's kind of, yeah, the next phase of parenting, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. All right. Well, let's move along. What's the worst thing you feel you've ever done as a mum?
When they're all babies, like I said, it was just a case of survival. But there was a couple of moments where I really questioned myself. And one was when Tobias, my oldest, he's 10 now. He was only 5 weeks old. And back in the day, 10 years ago, you used to have to wrap them really tightly in the blankets. So he was a bit of a wiggler. So he was always nice and tightly wrapped. Took him outside, put him in the car, had to get the pram into the boot. We lived in a house which had all this concrete that was broken. So I twisted my ankle, and in the meantime, while I had pram in one hand, him in the other, twisted my ankle. He went down like a ton of bricks, and you just heard this crack, like a watermelon crack. So it was not a very nice sound to hear when you've only got a five-week-old baby. I was pretty devastated, so I just screamed the house down. Obviously, my husband came running out, went to the hospital. He did have a bit of a cone head for a couple of days, and the whole time in the hospital, I was just beside myself thinking, oh my God, I don't even deserve to be a mum. He's only 5 weeks old and I've already dropped him on his head. He only needed Panadol that day, thankfully, plus extra feeds on the boob, and, you know, got through it. And look, he's fine. There was nothing wrong. I think they did a scan of his brain and look, he was okay. But yeah, I started questioning everything, and anyway, haven't
getting the mummy guilt. I
haven't had any more episodes like that after, but, you know, these things happen. And when you're a first-time mum, you just haven't got any confidence, you know. So, yeah, all good.
Yeah, I remember teaching Summer actually how to walk upstairs. And this one day I'm carrying all the shopping and everything and I'm walking behind her and I thought, oh, yeah, she's just about to take that last step on the top step. She'll be fine. So I kind of went ahead of her then. Next minute, bang, backwards, rolling down the stairs. Oh. I've screamed out, going, oh, my gosh. And then the mum guilt kicks in and same thing, you know. It's just like, oh, how could you let that happen? And horrendous. But I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there that are going to absolutely resonate with that, that have dropped babies or bumped heads or let them roll off beds. And oh my gosh,
you have these near misses as a mum. Yep. And you talk to any parent and honestly there's just those moments in time where you go, oh my god, that could have gone either way. And it's a bit scary, but thankfully most of them survive.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You just got to be vigilant. But and I think it's that thing when you're a mum, you just do anything for them. You just throw yourself in front of a bus to save them. It's just, so you've got that, you live in that constant state of hypervigilance when they're at an age where they don't understand danger and they could run out on the road or jump into the pool or whatever. So
it's like you've got an extra built-in alert level, isn't it, when you start having kids?
That's it. Yeah.
What would you say is the best thing about being a mum? What do you love most about it?
Oh, look, definitely cuddles. kissing them at night when they've gone to sleep and they're just so angelic. Yep. I just want to, kiss them. And there's lots of moments. There's those moments in the day, the tiny moments, but they make everything worth it.
Yeah.
So it's those moments, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
That you get.
And it's those little moments that most of us just brush over and we don't notice. But when you actually take notice of all the amazing little moments they have throughout each day, it's amazing, isn't it? Like the ones that, like, it's the snuggles, it's kissing them at night when they're asleep, it's when they're coming in and they're whispering I love you and all those little things, like, it all adds up. And it's I agree, it's amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
All right, what's the greatest lesson or the best piece of advice you've ever received as a mum, do you reckon?
Oh, look, to trust your gut. But unfortunately when you're a first time mum, you don't even know what that is. Uh-huh. So people say trust your gut, and you've read so many books that your mind is just boggling. So as much as that is awesome advice, because it's so true, but really we really need to learn from just being parents, and that's what it's all about. So, and you know, first kids generally still turn out okay. So and that's when we have none of that gut feeling a lot of the time. Some mums do, I don't know, I did not have it. It wasn't till my third, fourth that I felt like I could really trust my gut.
Yeah.
And I was a lot more relaxed.
Yeah.
Those kids are a lot more relaxed too from it. But look, you know, I think that it's a good piece of advice, but really just to do what you do. And, and you know, we've got lots of access to heaps of information these days. Mm-hmm. Read it all, take it with a grain of salt and just go your way, because really you've got the best intentions for that child. And just do that, because there's a million ways to raise a baby, you know?
Yeah.
There's a million different ways.
Yeah, so. I totally agree. Let's move on to embarrassing moments. What is there a time that you can think of
hundreds
where you've been embarrassed by your kids or where they've been embarrassed by something that you've done?
Oh. Yeah, look, regularly they embarrass me. No, they're not too bad. They're not too bad. You know, I more got those looks of sympathy in the shopping centres when you've got, you know, two in the trolley, one running next to you screaming or calling out your name, and then one saying they need to go to the toilet, and you get people walking past you looking as if to say, oh, thank God that's not me, you know. So that, I guess that was nice in a way to have people sort of got it and they were a little bit more forgiving. So look, you know, one day I guess my kids, I had Toby was at kindy, it was when I only had three, so Hugo and Indy ran back to the car and locked me out of my own car in front of all the kindy mums after running amok in the kindergarten, and I'm there banging, let me in, and they're in there laughing their heads off. That was pretty embarrassing. Anyway.
I've had a few as well. I remember I was at the Broadbeach school actually, where Summer used to go to school, and I did a it was at one of the sports carnivals or something, and they asked the parents to dance. Mm. And so I broke out the worm and I thought, oh, this is really going to embarrass her. But then when I got up, she was like, yeah, that's my mum. And everyone's like, is that your mum? She's like, yeah.
Oh, too funny.
And she's since tried to do the worm, but she's not quite as good. She needs way more lessons.
Too funny.
Awesome. So do you have a philosophy around parenting, or do you have any traditions or morals that you try and instill in your kids? What do you do in your household?
I guess not so much anything that I could coin as a philosophy or a tradition, but I really like to spend time listening to them. You know, like there's a lot of people that just sort of say, hey, you know, you've got to teach them the way, and that's totally true as well. But I've always given them airtime, mm-hmm. to the point where I have to stop myself because my natural instinct is to talk and tell them what I think is right or wrong. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time you find if you can just sit back and just listen, you'll find a lot more out about their situation, or if they're not happy, or if they're happy, or you feel they're a bit off one day, just going and sitting next to them and saying absolutely nothing. Mm. And you find that they open up like that. So I suppose that's just a way of life that I try and it didn't come naturally as a mum, but it's just something that I've developed over time. I've read this really awesome book. It's called Buddhism for Mothers. Mm. It's amazing. It's actually three books in one that you can buy. Can't remember what the author is. I'm sure if you Google Buddhism for Mothers, but it really taught me a lot about just listening and being present with your children. Wow, those birds are loud, aren't they? And being present with your children, basically. Yep. So yep. Rather than us always dictating how they should or shouldn't be. Mm. And I think that gives them a little bit of a voice, and it helps them sort of understand themselves a bit more, rather than us telling them how they should or shouldn't be feeling.
Yeah. And then they feel heard as well, you know, and that they matter and their opinion matters and their voice matters.
And they get emotional intelligence from that. Mm-hmm. You know, they can identify their own feelings instead of being scared about them if they feel sad or happy or scared, to realise that they're just feelings and to let them just happen.
Yeah.
And then to be able to let them go as well. I think that's sort of something that I've only learnt in the last 5 years after reading that book and just getting down – reading more into that side of things.
Yeah. I love that. I'm getting goosebumps as you say it, because I think as a society this is where we really go wrong, because we try and squash feelings out of kids, and no, you can't feel that, or stop crying, or don't, you know, we try and squash
it
out of them.
Come on, be happy.
Yeah.
Be happy. You've got to be happy. If you can just be happy, but that's great.
Yeah.
But there's lots of other feelings, aren't
there? Yeah, and I think it's really important for them to recognise the feeling and then, okay, well, why do I feel this way? Mm. And let them know it's okay to be sad. You can't be happy all the time, you know, but where is that coming from? And, you know, I think, I really love that you brought that up. I think it's so important, and I'm definitely going to check out that book. There's another book called Buddha at Bedtime. You got that one?
No.
And it's full of different, every chapter is a different story, and then it gives you the lesson at the end of it. So you read this story, you know, it might be about greed or whatever, and then, it gives you a nice little lesson. So that's another good one that I have shared with the listeners before as well, but I'm keen to check out your book. I'm always looking for good parenting books and stuff like that.
I can lend it to you,
actually. Oh, good.
Yeah, I've got it upstairs.
Hopefully I'm here for another week, so hopefully I can get it read by then. Awesome. So let's move on then. What would you tell your younger self, knowing what you know now after four kids, what would you tell your younger self as a first-time mum?
Oh, look, I suppose just keep doing what you're doing, and just keep getting up in the morning and doing it. Some days are going to be good, some days are going to be bad, and be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Some days everything's going to be on top of you. And go, oh, yeah, that's one of those moments when everything's on top of me as a mum. Like, I chose this, and let's just do this, and that's the way it is kind of thing, and rather than fighting it. The mess, trying to be at one with the mess. If you can be at one with the mess from an early stage, you'll find so much more happiness in motherhood. If you fight the mess, you will lose.
Yeah, yeah.
That's something I've sort of, it's, you know, my house is not a display home and probably won't be ever, because, you know, after kids leave, there'll be grandkids and whatever. But, I'm okay with that now. So,
Yeah, I love that. And someone said on one of the other podcasts, actually, her mum gave her that advice and said, look, your house is never going to be clean. So just get over it now. I know you're a control freak. Like, just, you know, don't worry about it. But a messy house is a creative house. And it shows that there's creativity going on and the, you know, kids are playing and their interaction and all that. So it's a good thing, actually, to have a messy house.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. And you just have the odd cleanup every now and again. You get that 5 minutes of serenity where you look around and you go, okay, wow, this is clean. Boom. You know, just that's it. That's all it lasts. So
I'm one of those people though, and I don't know if this is because I'm a Virgo or a control freak, but or a combination of both. But I can't get up in the morning and start work if the house is a mess. So we do like these really quick 30-second to 60-second sprint cleanups.
Oh, that's
where
awesome.
Everyone just goes nuts, puts things away.
Including the kids. Fantastic.
So everyone has to go. It's speed. And with that, in that 30 seconds to a minute, we usually get a lot of it done.
Wow.
So I'm okay with that.
That is awesome. I am so trying that.
And it's fun, right?
I reckon I'd spend half the time, there'll be a couple that would just drag their feet. And so I'd spend the whole time just trying to get them going.
Yeah.
But maybe they'd get the picture in the end.
And I'm just like, I don't care where the stuff goes. Like, throw it in the cupboard and shut the door, but just don't have it on the floor.
Nice.
And someone else, and I don't know if I read this or someone told me this, but what's happening is we're distracted. And this is where minimalism comes from as well. Like, if you're in a room, and this is like an office or a house or whatever, your mind is picking up every single thing. Like, we're on the balcony today and our mind is picking up, there's a lounge and chairs and, you know, and that's all distracting our thought, our creative pathways and everything. And so this is where the minimalists sort of go, well, if you want to think clearer, declutter the mind, and then it's, we have to sometimes go through that whole declutter
100%.
As well.
I am massive on minimalist. Mm. Like, I go around with a massive plastic bag and I literally go into cupboards and find stuff that I'm not going to use or that hasn't been used.
Yeah.
And I just take it to the tip or I give it to the salvos if it's if I think it can be reused. Mm. Because I was sick of the clutter. I couldn't live like that. Like, there is mess, but it's just superficial mess of stuff that's been used in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
But if you look in my cupboards, they're pretty bare, actually, considering everything that is in there gets used regularly. And and I, to the point where I find great I find great satisfaction in literally going around and just pulling stuff and saying, okay, cool, I reckon that whole shelf can go.
Yeah.
And just getting rid of it.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it makes cleaning up a lot easier, really.
Yes. Oh, it does. It really does. And I think this is where Marie Kondo is so amazing, what she does, because she just gets everyone to just dump everything, and then if it doesn't bring you joy, you get rid of it.
Yeah,
so then you only got a house full of stuff that brings you joy. It's amazing.
Yeah. I actually haven't seen a lot of her stuff, although my sister taught me something about folding T-shirts.
Oh, my God, it's the best.
And it's awesome. I do it in
Indies. Filing system.
The rolling, the T-shirts, it's great.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen a lot of her stuff, but I certainly think that I would align very well with her.
She's got a very good book called, I think it's called The Magic Art of Tidying, something like that. And I read it, and just having the kids' drawers and the clothes all set up in a filing sort of system, so you can see every single bit of clothing, has just changed our lives already. You know, because before we were just shoving T-shirts on top of each other and you couldn't see what you wanted. And
that hurts your brain too, doesn't it?
It does hurt your brain. Clutter hurts the brain. All right. So what's something that you've absolutely nailed as a mum? Ooh, and you're just like, yep, gosh, I got that girl. You're like,
I can whip up a pretty big feed quite quickly. I've got some really good dishes. The Veggie Smugglers was a book by Wendy Bloom. She bought a couple out, actually. I think they're only ebooks now, but they had some crackers in there that just are really good family meals.
Veggie Smugglers,
Smugglers, yeah. And so I got good at that pretty early on because everyone had to eat every day. It was so annoying. So I had to just find a system. And so now that I'm not regimented about it now, but it's there. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always got a certain amount of ingredients in the freezer to be able to just whip stuff up.
Yep.
And then look, I don't think you ever nail everything as a mum, but you know, you just sort of, finding happiness in those little moments and not being so hard on myself. Mm-hmm. I think I've gotten a lot better at that now that I've got my own business and the kids are still really young.
Mm.
So I call it work-life integration, where it's not work-life balance. I'm not seeing one opposing the other. They just coexist.
Yep.
I just make sure that I don't ignore my children while I'm working, but that I also am able to do work while they're playing or you know, so there's no sort of, I don't feel bad about one or the other. I just make sure that I'm spending enough time with my kids because that is my absolute priority. But getting better at just that multitasking without feeling like it's such a drain.
Yeah.
It used to just kill me. I was just overwhelmed by the house and trying to work and with kids, and you know, you can just go crazy with it all. So you have to kind of find some happiness in it because it's not going away. I mean, yeah, they still need to eat every day.
They do. And they costs money. And how often do we hear the people that have gone before us say, these are the best years of your life. You're going to look back and really realise that these are the best years of your life. So stop stressing out all the time about the small stuff.
Yeah, just do what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love definitely. It. Love it. Love it. All right. So the last question is, give us some of your mum hacks. What's some things that you found that are working for you that, you know, you want to pass on to some other mums out there?
Mum hacks.
Finding a man that can cook a good potato bake.
Yeah. See, Brad's a weekend cook, which is really unfair because he gets all the credit.
That's right.
And no one, like, everyone's like, oh, Brad, he always does a great roast and da da da. I'm like, hang on a minute. I cook five nights a week. Does no one care about that? The kids don't care. He takes all the accolades on the weekend. Damn it. Plus, he gets to spend 3 hours in the kitchen. I have to whip my meals up in 30 minutes, you know. Anyway, look, that's okay. It's not really.
I'm only bringing that up because I got to taste his potato bake the other night. It was absolutely delicious. You gave me very high expectations and they were exceeded.
Oh,
so,
good. Oh, good. Very nice. Oh, no. Look, it is a bit of a special of his. And Toby has eaten it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner since the barbecue.
The leftovers. That's so good.
He took it to vacation care today. Look, hacks. Wine. Wine's a great hack.
Yeah.
Coffee. That's another one. although, you know, yeah. In moderation, obviously. except when you've only had 3 hours sleep. You know, you're allowed an extra coffee that day. So, look, hack. Preparing meals in the morning. If you can chop everything up in the morning before you go to work or whatnot, it just makes the evening so much better when you're dealing with screaming kids. And another hack is definitely online shopping. If you haven't gotten onto online shopping...
Yeah.
I cannot live without it. I spend $350 a week online every single week.
Is this groceries?
Yep.
Yep.
So online groceries, they deliver it straight to my kitchen bench. It's like Christmas every single time. Yay. All I have to do is put it in the fridge. You can shop all the half price specials on there. So you don't have to walk up every aisle or anything. You can just go and see if any of your, you know, regular things are a half price.
Yep.
So that's definitely saved a lot of time. When I hear mums go, oh, I've got to go to the shop on the weekend, I think, oh my God, I would just never do that.
Especially with kids. That just makes it worse.
Oh my gosh, kill me now. I've done it lots of times. That is another, if you go back to embarrassing moments in the shopping aisles with the children, there's been a lot of embarrassing moments there where they've just run an absolute muck. But anyway, look, there's some tiny hacks. I can't think of anything groundbreaking. No,
they're great hacks. I love that. The online shopping is something that I've definitely haven't been on top of. But when I am, I feel the same. I'm like, geez, I'm organized. Like, this is amazing. And then all you have to do is pop it away. And I think that meal preparation as well. Like, our son always wants a fruit platter. Like, has a fruit platter. He has his breakfast in the morning, then sort of mid morning, he has a fruit platter. So having the fruit platter ready and just already plate it up for him, and then it's just in the fridge, and then all he has to do is grab the plate and he's good to go. Like, little things like that that make people's life so much easier. And something that we do as well is we try and prep on a Sunday. So we might do up a batch of like quinoa or something, or I'll have the smoothie bags for our breakfast already sorted for the next 5 days and all that kind of thing. And it just, I don't know, makes you feel good, like you're winning.
Yeah. Like you're on top of life.
Like you got a little bit of your shit
for
together.
For about 5 minutes. Yeah.
But I love that you brought those up. So, awesome, awesome hacks. So tell me, how can people find you? If people have loved this podcast and they're like, I want to see what this woman looks like and I want to hear more from her, where can they find you online? Are you on Facebook? Are you on Insta?
I am. I've got my business pages, Rockpool Real Estate. So my website's actually rockpoolrealestate.com.au, but I've got Tara Wallace Rockpool Real Estate for my Insta and my Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on there. That's basically where I spend most of my, yeah, that's where I'm out there. I do have personal pages too, but yeah, they're still active as well, but look, that's my business. So just, yeah, in the process of growing that at the moment, we're about to take on a rent role. So we've got a property manager coming on board.
Yep.
So we're going to be really accelerating and growing over the next year or two. So watch this space with that.
Awesome. Mm. I love it. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, honey. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
The listeners are absolutely going to love it. And we'll have to get you back. You know,
sure, anytime.
Down the track.
Anytime.
And maybe do it over wine next time.
Absolutely.
Here we're drinking bubbly water.
Close enough.
But thanks for jumping on. And again, thanks, ladies, for listening to our podcast and to our regular listeners and for all your feedback and your love and support. We love it. If there is a mum out there that you would love featured on the Fearless Mums Club podcast, please shoot me a message and let me know who they are. Connect us. We're always looking for guest speakers. Or if you're a listener and you'd love to jump on the podcast and be one of our guests, please let me know as well. But have an incredible week, ladies, and we will see you on the next podcast. Bye.